You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today for Tuesday, January 30th, 2018. I am Scott Engel, the managing director of RotoExperts.com. I am the king. I am Fantasy here with you 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern every weekday morning. Bring you the latest in what happens in fantasy sports. Start your day with your oatmeal and your coffee and me telling you what's happening in fantasy sports. If you went to bed early last night, I'll bring you up to date on what you missed. If you're just waking up, you're on the drive to work, you get the latest in your fantasy day in every sport and even a little bit of esports, because it seems like, hey, if you're in the front of the car and the kids are in the back of the car, you want fantasy and the kids want esports. That's just the way the world is going. And we'll have a little esports towards the end of the show. For those of you who are into that, the ESPN released its latest League of Legends power rankings for the NALCS. But there's a lot bigger fantasy news than that on the docket today. A lot to cover, including the major story from the NBA. That it was officially announced early this morning, early this a.m., that one of the biggest names in the NBA is on the move. If you haven't heard about it yet, we'll have that for you comprehensively in the first segment coming up after the break. And also you can go to rotoexperts.com for the full fantasy spin. Wasn't a busy night on the court in the National Basketball Association. 6 games. We'll tell you what went on, who were the top scorers, etc. Have some injury roundups for you as well. In the NFL, obviously, Super Bowl week started with Super Bowl Monday night last night. Media night. Not a lot of news coming out of there. We'll tell you the latest on Rob Gronkowski. Also, some player news, some coaching news. In Major League Baseball, a minor trade last night between the Kansas City Royals and the Oakland Athletics. We'll tell you about that. And is JT Realmuto finally going to be on the move? We'll let you know who the Marlins are talking to about that as they continue to tear the team down. Also in the NL East, is one of the top prospects in the division going to break camp with the team? We'll let you know that. In fantasy golf, the Farmers Insurance Open was postponed because of darkness on Sunday night. They finished on Monday morning. We'll tell you who won. The National Hockey League, there were no games last night as they recovered from the All-Star weekend. We'll tell you what happened. But we're going to lead with the big trades news of the night. Make sure you stay tuned for that. And it's going to be covered all throughout the day here on this channel. After I take you to 7 a.m. Eastern Time, it is the Roto Experts with Corey, Matt, and Greg. And at 10 a.m. Eastern, it's the Fantasy Frenzy, followed at 11 a.m. Eastern by the Best Friends Forever. And at noon, Red Heat and Rage. NBA trading next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel, here with you 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern every morning. And if you're just waking up, a big trade in the NBA last night is the Detroit Pistons trying to make a move to turn things around. Stan Van Gundy maybe trying to save himself here. The Pistons shaking up their roster in a dramatic way, acquiring Blake Griffin from the Los Angeles Clippers. And you can read the full fantasy spin right now on rotoexperts.com from our lead NBA fantasy basketball writer, Brandon C. Williams. He covers it comprehensively from both seasonal and daily perspectives. The Pistons officially announced the deal early this morning. Detroit sending forward Tobias Harris and guard Avery Bradley, the key principals in the deal for the Clippers, and center Boban Marjanovic to the Clippers, with Los Angeles also receiving a pair of draft picks. Detroit also acquiring throw-ins Bryce Johnson and center Willie Reed in the deal. And Pistons owner Tom Gorris in a statement saying the following: "We are serious about winning, and it's a major move to improve our team. Blake Griffin is one of the NBA's elite players, and when you get an opportunity to add that kind of talent, you take it." So the Pistons, in sort of that mindset where they need to make a push now, and they need to have a guy who can carry them on their backs to the playoffs. Otherwise, who knows what's going to happen to Stan Van Gundy here. Griffin is averaging 22.6 points per game, 7.9 rebounds, and 5.4 assists in 33 games so far this season. He has already missed playing time, though. The big knock on Blake Griffin, though, is the durability. He has not played more than 67 games since 2014. Griffin's going to have to make an adjustment here to playing in a more deliberate sort of offense, a little bit more high-flying out there with the Clippers. But once he gets adjusted to his new surroundings, his numbers should be pretty much the same. I guess it helps for this week, though, because if you're playing in a weekly league for this week at least, the Clippers only had two games this week. So at least that's good for the here and now. The whole thing, though, as we know with Griffin, observing him throughout his career over the last few years, the last three-plus seasons, he has not been able to stay on the court regularly. So we mentioned Tobias Harris going to the Clippers. Harris is averaging 18.2 points per game this month, but only shooting 43.2% from the field and 31% from beyond the free throw line. Maybe with a change of scenery here and a different type of offense, those numbers can come up a little bit. He's averaging 18.1 points per game, 5.1 rebounds per game. Bradley is the one that really needs a change of scenery. He's averaging 15 points a game, but shooting just under 41% from the field and averaging 1.2 steals a game. The acquisition of Bradley was deemed to be a bust, so maybe playing out in Los Angeles here now. The Clippers, playing out in Los Angeles there, could turn his fortunes around as well. As for the Clippers, published reports indicating they did not finish dealing. Lou Williams will probably be on the move, something that could hurt his fantasy value. And also DeAndre Jordan might be on the move. That guy's going to grab a ton of rebounds no matter where he plays. So once again, here was the deal in detail. The Pistons received Blake Griffin, Willie Reed, and Bryce Johnson. The other two guys were just throw-ins. The Clippers received Tobias Harris, Avery Bradley, Boban Marjanovic, an unprotected first-round pick and a second-round pick. The first-round pick is not expected to remain in Detroit. On rotoexperts.com, Brandon Williams is saying that Blake Griffin, in a seasonal league, you should sell high on him. His rebound numbers are on the decline, as is his field goal percentage. The Pistons are 18th in three-point attempts per game, so maybe Stan Van Gundy can kind of curb Griffin's affinity for shooting three-pointers a little bit. Griffin's averaging 22.6 points per game, but that in 2015, he shot 50.2%, and it's now down, it's been trending down to 44.1%. And he has a 20.70 player efficiency rating, but that is also a career low. Right now, he's 8,600 on DraftKings for you daily players. And Brandon recommends, and I also do, waiting about a few games to see how he works out. Harris, as for the Pistons, giving up. You got to give him up for give up something to get something. A little bit more of a free-flowing offense in Los Angeles. He's averaging 14.8 field goals per 14.8 field goal attempts per game. That should go up. And Harris should continue to be a fine fantasy option in Los Angeles. We mentioned Bradley, and we'll have to see if going to LA is something that will boost his value. Right now, inconsistency is an issue, but Lou Williams should be moved and Bradley should be playing regularly there. As Brandon Williams notes on Roto Experts, if Williams is traded, Bradley could bounce between either guard position, possibly sharing time with Misos Teledosic at the point. So the Clippers are certainly not done. What they're trying to do is sort of toe the line here. They want to stay in contention while shedding some payroll and also acquiring some younger players here. But you have to think that with getting rid of Griffin and Lou Williams, etc., the outlook certainly dims. For more on this, you'll listen to the Roto Experts at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. And the guys there will cover it, Greg Sussman, Corey Parson, and Matt Modica. Let's go on to some other pieces of news here in the NBA. But with the trade deadline approaching on February 8th, there is likely to be a lot more news coming down the pike. Chris Paul is questionable for tonight's game versus Orlando. He's dealing with a sore right groin. Paul told reporters that he does feel good, so it'll probably be a game-time decision. That's why if you play daily, you want to subscribe to DailyRoto.com to get all the latest lineup alerts in your inbox. Also, a great Slack chat from 5 p.m. Eastern on, which you talk with other daily players, also some of the Daily Roto crew. Steph Curry has right shoulder soreness, but this just seems to be academic reporting by Golden State, which has indicated they will regularly report any injuries, minor or major. He's listed as probable for tonight's game against the Jazz. Not really any worries with Curry's status. Tyreke Evans was able to return from an illness last night and scored 27 points, but then left late against Phoenix with an arm injury with about a little over 2 minutes remaining in the game. We'll have to wait and see on the status of that injury. Dylan Brooks also left that game Monday with a right knee problem. As for the Suns, Marquese Chris did not play in that game. We'll have more injury news and high scorers from the NBA last night, and then we'll get to the NFL and Major League Baseball. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel. If you missed our breakdown of the Blake Griffin deal, you can always listen to us on demand on iTunes, Google Play, and Audio Boom. And of course, go check out Brandon C. Williams' full breakdown right now on rotoexperts.com. Inside Injuries tweeting last night that Jabari Parker has been medically cleared. He will return to action on Friday night against the New York Knicks after almost a year after his injury. The Milwaukee forward recovering from his second ACL tear, both to his left knee. Some other injury news. Eric Bledsoe started on Monday, but only lasted 3 minutes before being shut down for the rest of the game. He's dealing with a sprained left ankle. He is questionable for Thursday's game at Minnesota. Aaron Gordon, questionable for tonight's game with a hip injury. Marquise Chris did not play, as we said, because of an ankle injury. Marvin Williams has a low left ankle sprain. X-rays were negative. He is iffy for Wednesday's game against Atlanta. And Nikolai Mirotic still dealing with a leg injury. He is questionable for Wednesday's game against the Portland Trailblazers. So let's move on to what happened last night in the NBA. It was not a busy night whatsoever. Only six games for the second day in a row. But we'll give you some of the highlights and also tell you what's going to happen tonight. Giannis Antetokounmpo is back in form as Milwaukee beat Philadelphia 107-95. Antetokounmpo, 31 points, 18 rebounds, 10 of 22 from the field. Just missed 4 of 5 three-point attempts, but made up for it at the line as he has hit 10 of his last 10. Antetokounmpo was recently dealing with a knee injury, but things have started to turn around for him again, and he is back in form for you seasonal and daily players. You look at recently, Antetokounmpo has scored at least 27 points in each of his last three games, and in that span, he has 40 rebounds. So Antetokounmpo definitely, he's had some tests this year against the likes of Kevin Durant, where he's kind of learned that maybe he needs one more step or so to take up to the super elite. But Antetokounmpo has given you everything that you asked for if you drafted him early. I actually took him third overall in my league. My team's around 500, but that's certainly not Antetokounmpo's fault that they're not winning more games. This game was also disappointing in the regard that we thought that Joel Embiid was going to finally play in back-to-back games. That was the indication that we got early yesterday, and then it didn't happen. Hassan Whiteside has been dealing with some issues lately. Actually had to sit down with his coach and talk things out. He was getting benched late in games, but Whiteside picked it up last night as Miami beat Dallas 95-88, 25 points and 14 rebounds for Whiteside, who shot 10 for 15 from the field in 26 minutes. A close one for the Boston Celtics, but Kyrie Irving and company was able to pull out a 111-110 win over Denver in the most exciting and featured game of the night. Irving with 26 points and 6 assists, shooting 11 for 17 from the field in 37 minutes. Indiana got Miles Turner back. He scored 22 off the bench. Victor Oladipo was their leading scorer as they beat Charlotte 105-96. Oladipo with 25 points and 5 rebounds, making 11 of 15 field goals in 37 minutes. Nikola Jokic, 24 points and 11 rebounds. He continues to play very well, although his affinity for gunning from deeper sometimes hurts his field goal percentage. Last night, he missed 9 of 17 shots. Dwight Howard with another solid performance, 22 points and 11 rebounds. That guy is oh so consistent, but Charlotte was not able to beat Indianapolis. Karl Anthony Towns as Minnesota lost to Atlanta in the upset of the night, 105-100, 15 points and 13 rebounds. For the Celtics in that game last night, Jason Tatum stepping up and doing a really nice job here in one of his best games of the season so far. Tatum actually had 20 points and 6 rebounds. Miles Turner, we told you, 22 points off the bench. Kent Bazemore in the upset win for Atlanta, 22 points. He had 8 for 14 from the field, but he sort of runs hot and cold. Jimmy Butler, 24 points, 7 rebounds, 7 for 15 from the field, 9 of 9 for the three-point range. Trey Lyles, who's also going to make a decent play tonight with Plumlee out again, 20 points and 7 rebounds. Will Barton with 19 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists. Wesley Matthews with 19 points and 7 rebounds in that loss to Miami. Ty Warren, 24 points, 7 rebounds. Chris Middleton, 19 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. Kemba Walker for Charlotte last night, 23 points. Ben Simmons, 16 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, continues to post good all-around numbers. Allen Wiggins, 18 points. For Dennis Schroeder, 18 points and 11 assists as Atlanta pulling the upset of the night. Thaddeus Young, 16 points, 4 rebounds, balanced attack for Indiana last night. Jamal Murray, 14 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists. Nicholas Batum for Charlotte with a good night, 22 points. Seldon for Memphis continues to step up, 17 points, 6 assists. Memphis dealing with some injuries. We mentioned Dylan Brooks as well, so he stepped forward again. Mason Plumlee, 16 points, 8 rebounds. Dario Saric, 19 points, 9 rebounds. Richardson from Miami, 14 points. And Tyler Ulis having to step forward a little bit more for Phoenix last night with 13 points and 7 assists. So, like we said, light night, light in the NBA. Light night, not night light. Light night in the NBA. Only 6 games last night. Night light, you know, that's what some of you use if you're scared of the dark. So let's tell you what's happening tonight in the NBA. Final month of January. Final day of January. It's going to be a busier night tonight in the association. 8 games. I will actually be at one. We'll have some audio for you tomorrow morning. 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern tonight. The Grizzlies take on the Pacers. Pacers healthy again. Getting Miles Turner back. We'll see when he moves back into the starting lineup. Tyreek Evans. We'll see if he's able to play tonight. This tip-off at 7 p.m. Eastern at the Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. 7 p.m. Eastern, the Lakers will take on the Magic at the Amway Center in Orlando, Florida. At 7:30 p.m. Eastern, it's the Hornets and the Hawks. The Hawks will try to make it a rare back-to-back in terms of wins, and after they knocked off the better opponent last night, maybe they can pull it off again. At 7:30 p.m. Eastern, it's going to be – actually, I do have the wrong schedule here. I'm very, very sorry about that. But we do make mistakes. It's live radio. Okay, that was tomorrow night's game, so I'm looking too far ahead. Tonight, the Thunder and the Wizards, 7 p.m. Eastern. The line is OKC minus 3.5. The over-under is 219. The Thunder are the hottest team in the NBA right now, having won 8 in a row. I will be at Nets and Knicks tonight at Madison Square Garden at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. The line is the Knicks minus 5.5. The over-under is 215. Should be a competitive game, but the Knicks are better at home than they are on the road, so they should be able to pull this one out. 7:30 p.m. Eastern, the Timberwolves will take on the Raptors in one of the highlighted games of the night. The line is Toronto minus 6.5. The over-under is 218. at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern tonight, TNT, the Cavaliers and the Pistons. The line is Cleveland minus 2.5. The over-under is 218.5. Cavaliers starting to pick it up a little bit recently with a few more victories. At 8 p.m. Eastern, the Magic will take on the Rockets. This game could get out of hand at some point. Maybe some of these Rockets guys will rest late. 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, it's the Kings and the Pelicans as the Pelicans continue life without DeMarcus Cousins at the Smoothie King Center. At 8:30 p.m. Eastern tonight, it's the Nuggets and the Spurs in one of the better games of the night. The line is San Antonio minus 6.5. The over-under is 200.5. 9 p.m. Eastern, another good game is the Warriors and the Jazz. The line is Golden State minus 7.5. The over-under is 217. And at 10:30 p.m. Eastern tonight, the Trailblazers will take on the Clippers. The line of the Clippers minus 2.5. The over-under is 221. I'll be expecting another good game for Damian Lillard, who has really started to pick up his play again recently. So there you go. Nine games in the NBA tonight, and we'll also get back on track in the National Hockey League with a dozen games. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Scott Engel here at 6 a.m. Eastern every morning. If you always miss the show, if you ever miss the show live, you can listen on demand on iTunes, on Google Play, and also on Audioboom. Let's go to the NFL, and last night was the first day of Super Bowl week in Minnesota. The players meeting the media for the first time, but Rob Gronkowski was not part of it. He was not doing interviews with the media because he is still in the concussion protocol. But according to the Boston Herald, Gronkowski has been going full tilt in practice, and he is fully expected to be ready for Super Bowl 52 on Sunday. Not something that the Eagles would like to hear, but hey, now they have to beat the Patriots at full strength. The Titans hired ex-Ravens defensive coordinator Dean Pease for the same position with Tennessee. Mike Vrabel gets a very good coach here as Pease took the Ravens defense to top 12 finishes in total defense and scoring defense in five of his 6 years at the helm. This defense was once again a top unit both for regular and fantasy purposes this past year. So the Titans remaking their roster with a very good hire there. We got some more NFL coming up next. What's the latest on Allen Robinson and Larry Fitzgerald? We'll let you know. And also some Major League Baseball and some esports later. That's all coming up on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel. According to ESPN, Jaguars wide receiver Allen Robinson expects to be back to full health relatively soon. He is recovering, as you all know, if you play fantasy football, from a major knee injury. The Jaguars, according to recent published reports, are looking to retain Allen Robinson and will likely let Marquise Lee and Allen Hurns float out to free agency. I think it personally would be smart if they kept Robinson and Lee, but with guys like Keelan Cole stepping up, maybe they don't agree with me, and maybe they know something that I don't. What do I know? I'm just a fantasy analyst. Sometimes these front office guys know more than I do. You know, that's why they get paid to do what they do. But Robinson, if he can recover, will certainly be at least a wide receiver too. I guess you have to see how much this injury is going to affect him in terms of being able to regain everything that he had before the injury, but he's still very young. He used to be a wide receiver one. You know, we've seen some struggles here. Blake Bortles could be back, though. They do have the chemistry. So Robinson, you know, we have to keep a watch on his injury. I would continue to check insideinjuries.com for updates. But I'm thinking if he's healthy, he's at least a wide receiver two next year. Blake Bortles and other Jaguars-related news, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, he had surgery on his right wrist last Friday. Bortles last year, 21 touchdowns and 13 interceptions, 7 yards per attempt and a passer rating of 84.7. Those were both the second best numbers of his career. But according to Pro Football Talk, as they lay it out here, it could get very dicey right now, contract-wise, with this injury. The surgery could come close to guaranteeing Bortles the $19 million he's scheduled to make next year in the final year of his rookie contract with Jacksonville. The Jaguars picked up the fifth-year option on his contract for last season, which was guaranteed for injury only. As Pro Football Talk indicates, it becomes fully guaranteed if Bortles is on the team's roster for the start of the league year. And it would be guaranteed if Bortles is unable to pass a physical before the date of March 14th when the league calendar flips. So Bortles could be back in Jacksonville. Allen Robinson could be back in Jacksonville. I tell you, if I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars, though, I'd rather have Alex Smith or Kirk Cousins. Maybe even Alex Smith, because I'd have more confidence in Alex Smith to make a play deep into the playoffs more than I would Blake Bortles. Neither one of those guys I don't think he can win a Super Bowl with. And maybe even Kirk Cousins, as Corey has pointed out, has melted down the stretch. You know, this quarterback position in the NFL, it's very, very thin past the top 16 or so. You have about 15 guys that teams can really depend on across the NFL. Is there the quarterback out there that can take the Jacksonville Jaguars to a Super Bowl or to help them win a Super Bowl? Right now, it just may not be there, but heck, the Eagles going to the Super Bowl with Nick Foles. There's a good team. And maybe with continued strong running game and a strong defense, they can overcome what's happening here at the quarterback position. Because you look at the AFC Championship game, Blake Bortles had two drives in which he could have probably led them to a game-winning score, and he flamed out, but also the defense didn't get a stop. So it's not all Bortles' fault. As far as fantasy goes, Bortles kind of up and down. When he's playing from behind, he can put up pretty good numbers. What you see is what you get with Blake Bortles, although he could be asked to be more of a game manager next year. And maybe, like you saw during the playoffs, Bortles was asked to simply not make mistakes. Because sometimes when Bortles is trying to make plays, bad things happen. And if that's the case, it's kind of going to bog down the offense next year. And Blake Bortles, never really a top fantasy quarterback. A few years ago when he was gunning from behind a lot, seemed that way, but you can't rely on him. He's a fantasy backup and a streamer. Talking at Monday's introductory press conference, Mike McCoy, the new head coach of the Cardinals, according to the Cardinals' official website, sounded much like a coach who was expecting Larry Fitzgerald to play this upcoming season. But I think a lot of that would depend on what the quarterback situation is. It really doesn't tell you an expert to be cognizant of that. According to the NFL Network, Darren Sproles is leaning towards returning for 2018. The Eagles going to the Super Bowl without him, finding other ways to do it. Corey Clement doing a nice job as a complimentary back. He's 35 years old, coming off of a big injury. Darren Sproul's really not a fantasy story for 2018. Tampa Bay Buccaneers coach Doug Curto, I guess I can't say that name before 7 a.m. Eastern. Tampa Bay Buccaneers coach Dirk Cutter confirmed that Todd Monken will be the offensive coordinator in 2018. He'll be the full-time offensive coordinator this year. He also coached the wide receivers last year, but the Buccaneers will now have Skylar Fulton do that job on a full-time basis. Steve Wilks continuing to flesh out his staff in Carolina as he hired Brady Hoke as defensive line coach. And the Panthers will also be making Trevell Wharton their offensive line coach, according to published reports. Let's move on to Major League Baseball. And a minor deal here between the Royals and the Athletics. The Royals getting Jesse Hahn and Heath Fillemeyer from the A's for outfielder and first baseman Brandon Moss, relief pitcher Ryan Buchter, and cash. The goals of the deals here, the Royals wanted to shed some salary. The A's wanted a left-handed reliever, and they only had one in their bullpen. They wanted to get another, and they took Moss as a throw-in. Moss telling SFGate.com that he was jumping up and down when he heard that he was going back to the A's, but he might want to sit down because the Athletics' Ken Rosenthal reporting that the A's are going to try to find a taker for Moss and won't keep him. Moss last year hit .207 with 22 home runs and 50 RBIs, and the A's are already penciled in the guy that they want to play full-time DH, and that's Chris Davis. They're not going to platoon him. So they'll look to pawn Brandon Moss off, and now he's probably going to be less excited that he won't stay in Oakland. Jesse Hahn, maybe this guy could be a reclamation project if he's somehow able to stay healthy. He was impressive in his first 2 years. But over the last 2 years, injuries have been an issue. A 5.59 ERA over the last 2 years as he has battled a lot of injuries. Jesse Hahn was a name that 2 years ago was like, wow, this guy can be a good value, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy. Hopefully, you know, this is somebody that the Royals could work with and maybe retool, and he can hit the back end of the rotation and post decent numbers. And he could somehow return, but I'm just hoping here is maybe like a sixth fantasy starter or a decent mono league play. So that was a minor deal. There still might be a more significant one coming down the pike. As according to MLB.com and MLB trade rumors, the Nationals will not part with Victor Robles or young outfielder Juan Soto in a deal with a deal for JT Realmuto. The Marlins and the Nationals have continued to engage in talks, but Robles and Soto are the only two guys listed in the top 100 prospects for the Nationals. And instead, they want to see if the Marlins will be open to taking Carter Kieboom, their first-round shortstop from 2016, and starting pitcher Eric Fetty, who saw a little bit of time in the majors last year, but got hit around. The numbers were not bad in the minors. He had a 3.49 ERA. Those guys, Kieboom and Fetty, according to MLB.com, ranked third and fourth among national farmhands, although neither one of them are considered among the top 100 prospects by Baseball America or MLB.com, although there was another source that did name Carter Kieboom among the top 100. Arizona is another possibility if the Marlins and the Nationals cannot come to terms on a Realmuto trade, but no details from MLB.com or MLB trade rumors on what the package could be. So we'll have to see whether the Marlins are willing to except some of the secondary prospects from the Nationals, but a lot of published reports indicating that they want to get a prime prospect out of this deal, especially after when they got Lewis Brinson for Christian Yelich. On the subject of prospects, according to MLB.com, top prospect Ronald Acuña, one of the most anticipated guys in fantasy baseball this year. Ronald Acuña telling MLB.com that he is coming to terms with the fact that he might begin the season in the minors for service time reasons. Last year in the minors, he had 325 with 21 home runs and 44 steals in 139 games, and he's also the youngest player to ever be named the Arizona Fall League MVP this past season. So as soon as somebody, you're going to have to draft and wait on, and a lot of fantasy players will be willing to do it. White Sox manager General Manager Rick Hahn told the team's official site that he expects Jose Abreu and Avisel Garcia to both stay with the White Sox this season. He did shop them this offseason and got a gauge for their value, but decided to keep them. Abreu hit 304 with 33 home runs and 102 RBIs. Very safe early round pick. Avisel Garcia, and that's the way to properly say it. It's not Avisel, it's Avisel. Avisel Garcia finally brought everything together last year. Hit 330 with 18 home runs and 80 RBIs. Missed a little bit of time with an injury, but Garcia definitely broke out last year. The talent was always there. We finally got the production. Also, according to MLB.com and MLB trade rumors, the Rockies are trimming down their options as they try to find a right-handed hitting corner infielder. They are now in on Todd Frazier, or they might bring back Mark Reynolds or Carlos Gonzalez. It seems like Gonzalez was headed on his way out of town, but now it seems while the market is slow, he could return to the Rockies. We'll talk golf and esports next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel. In golf, in San Diego, Jason Day sank an 18-inch birdie putt at 8:17 a.m. local time Monday in front of MC Grandstands on the number 18 at Torrey Pines for his first PGA Tour win in 20 months in a rare Monday morning finish after Sunday's play was postponed due to darkness. Day took 13 minutes to navigate the par 5 570-yard 18th on the South Courts to finish a six-hole playoff against Alex Noren to win the Farmers Insurance Open. In esports, the latest ESPN power rankings have been released for the League of Legends. As the NALCS rolls on again this week, the Kingzone Dragon X are ranked number one by ESPN, KSV ranked number two, and KT Rolster ranked number three. All three teams are 3-1. Also, according to the Esports Observer, NASCAR teams are now working on an iRacing esports venture to launch in early 2018. Not ready in time for the Daytona 500, but it should happen this season. According to Esports Observer, multiple sources say this venture is still in development, but it's based around NASCAR's charter teams creating a pro iRacing league full of players who will be drafted by the organizations and compete against one another for money in tournaments streamed online, most likely Twitch. I think that would be the default. So now we've seen the NBA starting up their 2K18. Madden's trying to get involved in esports, and now you have NASCAR. A lot of the individual tracks are going to have esports competitions, but that's with NASCAR Heat 2, which is really considered more of an arcade game than a simulator, which iRacing is. But all the major sports continuing to get involved in esports as this continues to boom. And for more esports, you want to go to sportsgrid.com. Check out the esports tab. Later today, we'll have complete Overwatch League power rankings from Chris Ventra. So you want to check that out, including and matches of the week from the Overwatch League and breakdowns from Steve Tarone. And also, you want to listen to 1-2 Punch tonight with Zareen T at 10 p.m. Eastern, as Zareen was at the historic Boston Majors this weekend, and will report back on what happened in the Counter-Strike Global Offensive tournaments. Let's go on to the NHL. Guy, we're often updating here. Sebastian Aho believes he's close to return after he skated again on Monday as he continues to recover from concussion symptoms. For the New Jersey Devils, Taylor Hall is expected to play tonight. For Los Angeles, Jonathan Quick was put on injured reserve. He could be back as soon as Thursday. This is a retroactive move. The nature of the injury was not revealed. Ottawa's Mark Stone also placed on injured reserve with a knee injury. That's also another retroactive move. He's not expected to play tonight. And it looks like the end of the line possibly in the NHL, as we were saying yesterday, for Yama Yager. He has played for 9 teams since he came into the league since 1990, but he cleared waivers yesterday and no team was interested. He was assigned to HC Kladno in Czech One Liga by the Calgary Flames. The Roto Experts are next with Greg, Corey, and Matt breaking down the Blake Griffin trade. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Eastern here on Fantasy Sports Today.